check, check, check.
Elsa Levasseur, and I'm a sustaining member, and I give monthly on the internet. It's so easy to listen to WGXC Accra.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Keddy on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Melanie Lukosovic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Queeman's town supervisor George McHugh was at odds with the public and other elected officials during the September 8th town board meeting about his decision to censor public comment over a Facebook post by the Queeman's Conservatives group. The comments were made on the, quote, "What's Up Queeman's," unquote, Facebook page, about the arrest of a man charged with forcible touching of four underage girls at the Mosher Park pool. Quote, "The supervision and accountability lies with the parents and those hired to operate the public pool and look out for the safety and welfare of the pool patrons," unquote, according to one statement from Queeman's Conservatives on the Facebook page. Quote, "And the victims are children and deserve to be protected from sexual predators," unquote. Several similar comments were posted on the Queeman's Conservatives and the Town of Queeman's Republican Committee Facebook pages. McHugh leads the Conservative Committee. He denied posting the statements and claimed he does not know who did. Numerous town and village residents were angered by the comments. Ravenna resident Melissa Ashby attempted to bring the subject up during the public comment portion of the meeting, but McHugh would not allow Ashby to speak, cutting her off almost immediately, claiming the subject was forbidden because it was not town business. Quote, "Facebook comments are not legitimate town business," unquote, he said. Town board member Marissa Tutte, candidate on the Republican and conservative lines in the November town election, said, quote, "It saddens me tremendously that what happened to those children was brought into a political game between two entities. I will tell you that the page you are mentioning was not the Conservative Party, so whoever did say that, it was not representing those of us who are in the Conservative Party. I want that to be very clear, unquote. McHugh cut her off as well. Village Trustee Caitlin Appleby, a Republican who also attempted to discuss the topic at the meeting, was likewise not permitted to speak. She later argued the issue is town business because of where the Facebook comments originated from. Quote, he, McHugh, is the face of both of those committees, and yet he doesn't want to talk about it, unquote, Appleby said. Quote, there is no proof who wrote the Facebook post in question, and Appleby said that is part of the problem. Quote, there is no transparency, unquote, Appleby said. Quote, if he, McHugh, didn't write it, then he knows who did, unquote. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
In an interview that aired on 60 Minutes September 18, President Joe Biden said, and I quote, the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one is wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. And so I think it's changing, end quote. Facts do not bear this out. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report nearly 400 people a day continue to die from COVID-19 in the United States. Biden himself in July had two bouts of COVID-19. In New York, though, the Times Union reports officials will no longer release COVID-19 case numbers by school district. Department of Health spokesperson Cadence Aquaviva said about the closing down of the COVID-19 school report card, and I quote, local health departments and schools will work together to determine if and when action in a school needs to be taken or if there is a risk posed to the general public. New York State continues to provide an unprecedented amount of data and will continue to update and change our data pages as necessary, end quote. On September 15th, Greene County officials reported another local death from COVID-19. On September 16th, Greene County officials announced 13 new cases and 83 total cases. On September 12th, Columbia County reported another COVID-19 death. And on September 15th, officials there reported 18 new cases and 73 total cases.
Lauren Mulvey reports for the Times Union that the Woodstock Film Festival returns beginning September 28th and continuing through October 2nd for its 23rd year of films, special guests, and more. After 2 years of a pandemic-constricted event, attendees and filmmakers this year can expect a, quote, full-blown festival again, unquote, said festival co-founder Mira Blaustein, with a lineup of 48 feature films and 98 short films. The festival opens with the world premiere of Joshua Caldwell's Mending the Line, in which a young wounded Marine forms a bond with a Vietnam vet over fly fishing. The closing night film is Empire of Light, a love story set in the seaside English town in the 1980s, directed by Sam Mendes and starring Olivia Colman, Michael Ward, and Colin Firth. Other headliners include the New York premieres of Raymond and Ray, The Banshee of Inisherin, and The Triangle of Sadness. The attendee list includes Ethan Hawke, Awkwafina, and Amanda Seyfried. And short films that win the animation, documentary, and narrative categories are immediately eligible for Academy Award nominations. The nonprofit Woodstock Film Festival has been celebrating independent film from both local and international filmmakers since 2000, when Blaustein and co-founder Laurent Reggio planned their first festival. With Blaustein now running the festival on her own, the organization also acts as a launchpad for aspiring filmmakers. Films will be screened at the Tinker Street Cinema, Bearsville Theater, Saugerties Orpheum Theater, the Woodstock Playhouse, Rosendale Theater, and other spaces. Information is available at woodstockfilmfestival.org. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Brendan J. Lyons and Chris Bragg are reporting in the Times Union that investigators with the Albany County District Attorney's Office and the State Board of Elections are continuing an investigation into thousands of duplicate signatures submitted in nominating petitions to try to get Republican Lee Zeldin an extra ballot line with the Independence Party for his current run for governor. The state Republican Party submitted the petitions with the duplicate signatures, not Zeldin's campaign. The roughly 11,000 duplicate signatures were photocopied at the state Republican headquarters in Albany. A source with knowledge of the investigation told the Times Union that criminal charges are now being considered because it appears the duplicate signatures were deliberately mixed into the petitions. The petition effort was headed by John F. Hagerty, Jr. a longtime Republican operative from Queens who serves in a leadership role for the state party. A Republican Party source told the newspaper, and I quote, "Nothing could have gone out the door without his knowledge," end quote. Hagerty has previously had troubles with the law during an election. Convicted in 2011 of stealing roughly $750,000 from former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg during his 2009 re-election campaign, he did not respond to a reporter's query for comment. Jessica Proud, a spokesperson for the state Republican Party, all but refused to comment, saying, and I quote, "It's nonsense. We said all we're going to say on the matter. It's election season. This is all political," end quote. Governor Kathy Hochul, the Democrat running against Zeldin, released a campaign statement claiming Zeldin is, and I quote, "now implicated in an actual case of election fraud, and this time it's real," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And this year's general election in New York begins October 29th and ends November 8th. October 14th is the last day to register to vote and to postmark an application to vote in the general election. Those mailed-in applications to vote must also be received by Board of Elections by October 19th. Anyone honorably discharged from the military or who became a naturalized citizen after October 14th may register in person at their county Board of Elections office up until October 29th. Applications to vote by absentee ballot must be received by mail by October 24th, although military absentee ballot applications are accepted through October 29th. Anyone can apply for an absentee ballot in person through November 7th. Absentee ballots must be postmarked by November 8th and received by County Board of Elections no later than November 15th. Go to the website for your county's Board of Elections for more details.
While a major affordable housing crisis in the Hudson Valley now is common knowledge, there has been no affordable housing built in the WGXE listening area in recent memory. Only Hudson officials are even talking about building anything, though no shovels are in the ground there or anywhere else. Now Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that federal housing funding in some cases has been too slowly distributed and could put future funding at risk, according to an audit released by Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's office. DiNapoli said, and I quote, "We need every dollar available for housing needs in our state, particularly those that can help bolster affordable housing. ACR must work more efficiently to ensure the unprecedented federal relief funds help New Yorkers in need and are not lost because of unnecessary delays and miscommunications," end quote. New York has received $224 million in community development block grants for affordable housing. The money must be spent in a certain time frame. DiNapoli's audit recommended improving internal controls over the administration of community development block grants and better monitoring of contractors. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers mainly after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 74 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 76 degrees. And Wednesday night, showers before 11 p.m., then showers and possibly a thunderstorm between 11 p.m. and 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air Tuesday, September 20th on 90.7 FM WGXC, including at 9 a.m. On the WGXC morning show, Athens resident and filmmaker Lisa Thomas talks about her show with the Dust Bowl Fairies this Saturday in Athens at a church there. At 10 a.m., it's time for the Ginger Radio Hour with Justin Maiman. He's broadcasting live from Accra and talks to composer Sam Digerjewski, who recently created a three-volume work of music about the Catskills and Borscht Belt called The Solomon Diaries. At noon, the Driftless Turmoil show has music from Hair Police, The Jesus and Mary Chain, and Anteloper. Claudia Wagner is the featured artist on the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. And at 7 p.m., Kimberly Irwin speaks with Leah Penniman, a farmer, educator, author, and food sovereignty activist from the Soulfire Farm in Rensselaer County, and also to Gregory Owens, who works with New York's Office of Children and Family Services. That's at 7 p.m. on her Race Talks show on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, October 22nd, come out to Wave Farm and view the installations. It's part of WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 22nd, Wave Farm will welcome drop-in visitors for tours of the campus, including the WGXC Acre Studio and the many installations on the property that employ radio in some way. Also, community members and local nonprofit organizations can come by to record public service announcements to air on 90.7 FM, and members of the public can record a station ID for WGXC. Again, that's Wave Farm is open for visits on Saturday, October 22nd during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive from noon to 6 p.m. Go to WGXC.org for more information, and we'll see you on Saturday, October 22nd at Wave Farm.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, 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 radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wave Farm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, September 20th. Local early morning temperatures range from 57 in Phoenicia to 53 in Tivoli. Regional average soil temperature is still at 66 degrees. We'll watch for some patchy fog early on. After 9 a.m., chances for rain return and is likely to be isolated. That will last till about 6 p.m., and we will see a high temperature of only 73 degrees at 3 p.m. Dew points in the low 60s might have it feeling muggy. Overnight, we see 55 degrees before watching the temperature bounce back up to 78 tomorrow afternoon. Overnight, we see chances for rain and a low of 64. Thursday, still some rain and a high of 68. Overnight, the rain comes to an end and we see a low of 45. Friday is looking cool and windy with a high of 59. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:21 a.m., high tide at 12:01 p.m., low tide once again at 6:16 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees and the current strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 6:45 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:36 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is kicking up flare chances and showing off sunspot AR3105, the mutated form of last week's pesky AR3089. Solar wind speed is currently 454 kilometers per second at 5.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. And the current sunspot number is 74. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dan and Mary Udell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Yep, you're listening to WGXC 90.7. And when I'm coming home from the turnip picking, I like to listen to the Battlefield Earth program. Boy, that guy's got some sensibility about him, doesn't he? Every Tuesday nights at 9:30. It's crazy out there.
Wow, what a graduation.
I'll say.
But with college behind us, we'll need careers, and good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in nuclear power.
Wait, it's all to tell the people about the mythical dish coming your way.
No, no, no.
The thing called a bomb bomb. The little whistle arms on me and hang. Little different style, different fashion. You know? Tell me, say one thing, Nancy, can't understand. One thing, Nancy, can't understand. What make them matter about me ambition? Say what make them matter about me ambition? Come and say some of them ask me where me get it from. Tell some of them ask me where me get it from. I told them no, no, it's from creation. I told them no, no, it's from creation. Bam, bam, ayo, what a bam.
With Sister Nancy with Bam Bam on the radio at WGXC.
Welcome to 2022 Tonks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Sovereign God, as the world turns its attention to the final tributes of a great queen.
The U.S. House Chaplain Margaret Kibben opened Monday's session noting the historic events happening overseas as Queen Elizabeth II was laid to rest. President Joe Biden was among the nearly 400 world leaders who gathered for her funeral in London, which concluded with music from the Queen's bagpiper. Thousands descended on central London to pay their respects. Cambridge scholar Premavada Gopal contends the Queen's death has sowed doubt on the future of the monarchy.
Monarchy really represents exactly what we are ruled by across the world. Power and privilege and wealth in the hands of a few, which the rest of us are then invited to worship and think of as perfectly normal.
The Queen's eldest son, King Charles III, is now the 13th British monarch since England and Scotland united in 1707. Today is National Voter Registration Day, and nonpartisan groups are encouraging Americans to plan how, when, and where to vote. Sharon Delente with Promote the Vote says it's essential to ensure the process goes smoothly.
There's a nonpartisan voter protection hotline. If folks have any questions, concerns, and they need to talk it through with someone or they can't find the information, it's 866-OUR-VOTE.
Meanwhile, Colin Morazzi with the ACLU of Ohio explains state and local officials have a much bigger impact on the daily lives of voters than many high-profile federal leaders. He uses the state auditor as an example.
It's not a very flashy position. And in all honesty, the biggest role the state auditor plays is to investigate corruption and public malfeasance. But another equally important function is to be one of the seven map drawers for state and congressional legislative districts.
Rossi says issues like LGBTQ rights, reproductive health, and voting access can be affected by officials in down-ballot races. Constitution Day ceremonies were held to mark the 235th anniversary of the U.S. Constitution. Congressman Brendan Boyle of Philadelphia said his city is honored to have played a role in the document's drafting.
It is now up to all of us to again read our Constitution and bring it close to not only our minds, but our hearts. Every single day, we must work to uphold it and uphold our democracy.
Despite comments from President Joe Biden, the pandemic is over. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warned it's unlikely the U.S. will eradicate the coronavirus. He noted rapidly evolving science and the vaccines have made a difference.
Even though it's been terrible from the standpoint of the toll of human suffering and death, both in the United States and globally, it clearly would have been much, much worse.
According to the CDC, nearly 400 people are dying from COVID each day. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The counterpart to the U.S. Senate's Electoral Count Reform Act was just announced in the U.S. House on September 15th. The bipartisan legislation is an attempt to prevent future attempted coups, but time is short as the congressional term nears its end. NBC News reports that Representatives Josh Gottheimer, Democrat of New Jersey, and Fred Upton, Republican of Michigan, sponsored the Electoral Count Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act, which is similar to the Senate's bill. Both bills attempt to clarify the limited role the vice president has in the certification process, but the House bill also proposes changes to the Presidential Transition Act, which dictates how an outgoing administration must prepare for the handoff to a newly elected president and his or her administration. Another broader bipartisan bill is reportedly being prepared for release this week by Republican Representative Liz Cheney and Democratic Representative Zoe Lofgren, which will address a wider scope of transition issues. And at some future point, the January 6th committee will also report on what changes can be made to prevent any future attempts to overturn an election. Back in the Senate, the Electoral Count Reform Act, sponsored by Senators Joe Manchin and Susan Collins, just had its 10th Republican senator sign on, Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Links to articles, the language of the new bills, and groups taking action can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Home. What are we? Are not making the rules here, honey. You break them on your own.
was 2022 new music from Stuyvesant's Chris Panat. The song was called What Are We from his album Go on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
She's falling apart. She's losing it. She's full of dread. She's on the run. She's full of dread. She's losing it. She's falling apart. She don't like it here. She don't belong. No wings to fly with. No magic wand. She needs some magic. She needs some magic. She needs some magic. She needs some magic. Like a cat with an extra thumb. Polydactyl on the run. Till she was picked up by the SPCA. Now she's living in a cage. She needs some magic.
Magic.
And I'm Tom Rowe, live in Acre. We're speaking with Lisa Thomas, the noted Athens filmmaker, and more. You're also on the board of the Athens Cultural Center. And what else, Lisa?
Well, I'm also the film fairy for the Dust Bowl Fairy, so I'm one of the fairies, too, even though you don't get the lead fairy writer, Cooley, you get me.
That's okay. Anyway, we love you, too.
Yeah. Writer got tied up with something she couldn't get away from, so she texts me, and she's like, can you fill in? And I certainly can fill in. I know all about this thing that's coming up.
So tell us, what is coming up Saturday in Athens?
So essentially, it's not tomorrow, but it's Saturday, September 24th. And it's going to be a kind of a really cool showcase of the band, the Dust Bowl Fairies, that performs in the area sometimes live, and with film projections behind them, which is something that we do occasionally. Like they've done that up at the Linda, and they did it, at some different venues like down in Southampton. And anyway, so whenever we get the opportunity to kind of do these like sort of film projections behind them in certain venues, we like to do it. And there's this church, it's called The Church, on 12 South Franklin Street in Athens, that is kind of allowing us to sort of give it a huge makeover for the night of Saturday, September 24th, and we're going to make it this kind of whole gothic film music affair.
Yeah, I love to go into churches I've never been in before. Usually, if you're not that religion, you don't tend to have a reason to go, but this is like a good reason to actually see the inside of the church, right?
Yeah, I think Carol Bernard and her husband Todd, like, they've had it for a few years, and their idea always was to kind of make it this exhibition type space. And I know they open it up for like the Victorian stroll, and they have music in there occasionally, but mostly they've been just trying to renovate it. But their idea is really to have it for the arts and exhibitions. So this is, you know, just a few times a year that they open it up, and we're lucky that they're
here's 2022 new music from Chris Pinnott from Stuyvesant.
You know, which
he plays in the Warp and the Weft, and he also has a solo album called Go, and this is the song Earthshaker.
Tumbling down the walls we made of.
And if you need to, I won't let you fall. What we save tonight is nothing less than all. Are you ready for an earthshaker? Tumbling down the walls we made of. Everything we do will last forever. Are you ready for an earthshaker?
Bartender, let's make it a double. That was 2022 new music from Stuyvesant's Chris Panat. The song was called What Are We from his album Go on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2022 Tonks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Sovereign God, as the world turns its attention to the final...